Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show with your host, Skip LaCour. Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show is a weekly talk radio program that discusses any of the challenges that you face as you strive to create the best body you possibly can and outlines solutions. This is your opportunity to talk with Skip about what's most important to you in your training efforts, share your thoughts and opinions in an open forum, and learn from the experiences of other passionate lifters just like you at the same time. Skip LaCour is a six-time national champion and whose leadership and coaching continues to guide bodybuilders around the globe. Here is the host of this bodybuilding and training show, Skip LaCour.
Welcome to this bodybuilding and training talk radio show. I am Skip LaCour. Where are you right now with your bodybuilding and training efforts? And what's the next level for you as you strive to create that body that you really want? Not the body that you're settling for, the body you really want. No matter how well you are doing, do you ever feel that gnawing angst inside your gut that pushes you to do whatever you're doing just a little bit better? That gnawing angst. I call that the angst inside. And that is something that is very important that you manage. You appreciate what it is, that you see it as a good, empowering type of feeling. You use it as something to work with you and not against you. That angst inside, that's what gets you to drive, to strive for more and not settle. And it's important that you understand that angst, that you work with that angst, because you don't want to cause yourself too much overload, what I call information overload, mental, emotional overload, where you ruin the process for yourself. So what's the next level for you, and what's stopping you from getting there? If you want to make improvements to your physique and you want to do it effectively, efficiently, and in the shortest period of time, you're going to have to know exactly what it is you want. The answers will start coming to you like, I always say, like magic. They come out of nowhere. That's just how it works when you get specific about what it is you want. The answers are out there, gentlemen. They are indeed out there. We have so much information available to us, but we have to know what we want first. Maybe that information or that inspiration that you need is right here today on this talk radio show. So what's it for you? Is it with your training? Your nutrition? Do you need a kick in the pants, some motivation? How about some drive to actually do everything you already know you need to do? Maybe that drive to get in the gym on a more consistent basis. Or maybe you perform better once you are in the gym. What is it for you? Here's your chance to get some free coaching. Call me up and let's talk about what it's going to take for you to get more out of your bodybuilding and training efforts. The number to call in is 347-326-9145. Again, that number is 347-326-9145. And we have a couple of callers on the line, and we have a couple of lines open. And I'll get to those calls in just a moment. We also have a chat room available for you to interact with other passionate lifters just like you, to add your questions, your comments, your insights, asking for clarity of something I may be talking about on the show. Here's your chance to communicate live through our chat room. All it takes is one new strategy, one new idea, one new way of looking at a situation that makes all the difference in the world. So no matter where you are with your bodybuilding and training efforts, just remember that all it takes is one new strategy, one breakthrough, whether it's in your training, your nutrition, your mental habits, and we'll talk a lot about that. What it does, it leads to another breakthrough, and then another breakthrough. That's just how it works, gentlemen. That's how it works. So at any moment in time, no matter how well you're doing, just keep the faith that all it takes is that one breakthrough. Oftentimes, you may find out that you're already doing everything right. When I coach bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts around the world, that's what I find out. They're usually very passionate when they come to me. They're very determined. They've done their homework. And they're doing everything right. They just need that certainty and confidence. What they need is that validation from a coach, a person they see as an expert or a friend. That's all they need. Now, I can help you do that. I've been helping thousands of bodybuilding and fitness enthusiasts all over the world take their bodies to the next level and help them get that body they want and also bust through sticking points and plateaus. I've been doing that through my website at www.skiplacour.com. I've had an internet presence for quite a while. You can see a lot of my work on my website, again, at skiplacour.com. Also, my internet presence on the AST Sports Science Nutrition website, and that's at www.ast-ss.com. You can also see me on the bodybuilding.com website. Just Google search Skip LaCour, and there's a lot of information that I am sure that you'll find helpful. I've written 10 books. I've produced 7 DVDs. I've written for the Muscle magazines. I've conducted seminars around the world. I do one-on-one phone consultations with bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts of all different levels of experience throughout the world through the phone consultations. And now, right here on this open forum. So take advantage of this opportunity and call in. The number is 347-326-9145. I have a caller on the 507 area code. Caller, are you there?
I'm here, Skip.
How are you today, sir?
I'm very good, and I've been listening long enough to know that you're probably awesome.
Yes, I am. And what is your name?
My name is Kevin.
Kevin, and where are you from?
I'm from outside of Rochester, Minnesota.
Awesome. Okay.
Kevin,
what's your question, or how can I help you today?
Sure, thanks. I got back into training about 9 months ago after a fairly significant layoff, and in that 9 months, I managed to only miss 3 workouts. So
awesome.
Not 100%, but felt pretty good about that.
That's very good. You should feel good about that.
Yeah. And the gains were going well. I was getting my diet under control. Well, now I'm on, at least for the next 5 weeks, doctor-ordered layoff since I've had hernia surgery.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering if you found yourself in a situation where, okay, for the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks, you're not supposed to lift anything more than 10 pounds.
Okay.
What would you do with that time?
Well, knowing what I know of how everything all works together, that it's not just lifting weights, it's not training, it's not just cardio, it's just not eating, it's how everything all works together. Of course, the biggest concern, and this is, if I'm reading you right, Kevin, is you're a little anxious, you're a little concerned that all this effort that you've been putting in the last 9 months, it's all going to go to waste here in the next 5 weeks because of your limited capacity of working out. And I'm here to tell you that when you understand how it all works, you can come out of this just fine. What I would suggest that you do, first of all, just keep your head on straight. Look, you've been working out well for 9 months. Kevin, did you notice that you talked about a significant layoff? How long was your layoff before?
Years.
Okay. 5 years?
Probably 5 to 10, yeah.
Okay. Let's just say it's 5 years, 10 years. It doesn't matter.
Right.
The thing is you got to the gym. You were mentally tough. This time you were determined to get back in the gym. Did the improvements come right away to you? Did you take a 10-year layoff, you showed up at the gym, and then 3 days later you were in the shape of your life?
Clearly no. There was some muscle memory that, but as with many beginners, the first 2 months it was like, wow, okay, this is going well. So that was
and really, by the law of contrast, doing nothing for 10 years, you do anything for a couple weeks, a couple months, you're going to feel great about yourself. The thing is, you didn't, your body didn't just all of a sudden just whip into shape that you could be proud of. You're obviously a lot more happy with your body now after 9 months than you were after, you know, a couple, 3 days.
Sure.
My point is that all of the inactivity was not corrected in 3 days. And I'm just here to let you know that your 9 months of discipline and hard work, only missing 3 days, it's not going to be lost in a week or 2 weeks. Okay, especially when you you make sure that you do a couple of the other factors that goes into having a healthy, strong, physically attractive physique. And that's what I'll talk about. You know, get to the gym. Get to the gym. Stay on your consistent basis. You've been to the gym on a consistent basis as planned for 9 months, only missing 3 days. You want to keep that up, even though you can't lift more than 10 pounds. So keep on your schedule and go into the gym. Just make that mental connection, that social connection with the people in the gym, like always. Keep your pattern, your day, your work pattern exactly the same. Do cardiovascular training now. You know, how old are you, Kevin?
I'm 44.
Okay, you're 44 years old. You and I are just about the same age. And what you probably notice is that what you physically look like becomes almost secondary, because you know what to do there. You know that when you're consistent, that's you're going to look fine. So right now, being conscious of your health becomes more important. And, you know, having an operation at any time makes us think, hey, we're not kids anymore. The bigger picture here is to make sure that we keep our physical health. All right, so you're going to go to the gym, and you're going to do your cardio. You're going to lengthen that cardio training out, and knowing that it's so good for your metabolism, it's so good for your lungs and your heart and your blood circulation. All right, so the shifting of your focus of your working out is going to go from the weight training to more cardiovascular training just for the next 5 weeks. You're going to enjoy that. You're going to enjoy the connection. You're going to keep on your time schedule. I mean, that's one thing, is that have you noticed that what's great about being so consistent like you've been for the last 9 months, it enhances, it augments the rest of your life, all the other different facets.
Absolutely.
Okay? So you don't want to lose that just because you can't lift dumbbells or barbells over your head, right? Okay?
Yeah.
Do some stretching. Get out there, you know, do some things with the 10 pounds weight. Just some is better than none. Make the best out of everything you can. Keep that momentum going, and these 5 weeks are going to be over before you know it. And you're going to be right back on track. And I have a feeling with you sound like you're very committed. Your body is used to testing itself for 9 months straight. That 5 weeks might even turn into a shorter period of time, because doctors, they usually give you a more conservative estimate. So let's just say it's 5 weeks. That's going to fly by, and you're going to stay on track, and you're going to hit the ground running when that time period is over and you're recovered from your hernia operation.
Yeah, it was kind of nice as I was in the hospital and as I was talking with the surgeon ahead of time to get comments like, well, you're obviously a weightlifter.
Right.
From looking at me and, you know, seeing me, about the only other person sees me that way is my wife. So,
well, that's probably not true. I know what you're saying. It's nice to get that validation.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. At the same time, you giving yourself that validation, and it's obvious by you showing up on such a consistent basis. I'm sure, and I hope that your wife enjoys how you're keeping yourself up.
She lets me know she appreciates it. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's always get that support from the most important people of your life, and then when you hear it from, you know, someone in the healthcare industry who sees a lot of bodies come through, they probably see a lot of people abusing their body. It kind of reinforces what you're doing. And my guess, Kevin, is that a lot of other people see it too. It's just that, you know, they may not, that's not something you necessarily comment on all the time, right?
Yeah, it's kind of an odd thing sometimes to comment on. One of the areas I was going to try to focus on here over the next 5 weeks in particular is my nutrition. It seemed like that would be an easy one to both let go astray, and an easy one if you focus on it. Okay, I can't lift, but I can sure focus on what's going in my mouth.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you're bringing that up, and I just want to, your language patterns, your mental attitude, you notice for the last 9 months, as you've been consistent, your attitude towards training and the way you look at working out and eating has probably drastically changed from that Kevin of 10 years ago. Okay, whether you realize it or not, you run subconscious programs in your mind. The way you look at training and eating is very important. It's a lot different now. It's a lot more empowering now. So just something to keep in mind. You said to me that, well, in this time period, my training is, or my eating is the first thing that I'll let go, all right, or I'll have the tendency to let go, or the probability of letting go, however you put it, okay?
Yep.
That's a program. You're sending your mind a message that you may let that go, okay? I want you to turn that to a more empowering thought process, and that is, even though I can't train with weight, I'm going to get even tighter with my eating habits so I don't even miss a beat. Okay, you tell yourself that right now. Again, it's so powerful. You tell yourself that right now, you're going to put that subconscious message in your mind. You're going to make sure you follow through. On the other hand, if you prepare yourself that this is going to be the area that I could let go more than any other, you know, what happens is when a piece of pizza flies in front of you, you've already set that wheel in motion. You planted that subconscious seed that, well, this is what I told my brain I'm going to do, so where's that pizza?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Okay, so this is then my second point is that is the area that's not only most important to you as you can't train with weights, for anyone out there listening, your eating habits. Okay, that's what you should be focusing on more than anything else. Don't make yourself feel good by training hard for an hour in the gym five times a week and then eating like a pig or not eating at all or doing whatever the rest of the 23 hours in the day. Whether it's Kevin who can't train with weights because of an operation that he's recovering from, or you're an 18-year-old, aggressive, ambitious, determined kid out there ready to conquer the world in the gym. You know, your eating habits, that's where you need to put the majority of your emphasis, priority, dedication, and focus to if you want to have that body that you really want, all right?
I'll tell you, Skip, one of the things that I have really, I've done just a ton of reading and listening to your podcast, listening to your blog, radio blog, in the last 9 months, is the better understanding of how important that other 23 hours a day it really is. Now, it's something as a younger, less mature lifter, I really didn't get that. I thought it was all about what I was doing in the gym, and I didn't understand as well how much of it is the time you spend outside of the gym and what you're doing in your recovery.
Right. Well, coming from you and the other listeners hearing that, it will emphasize it just one more time. Because, Kevin, you know, you and I are about the same age, so you know how it is. Didn't we have to hear things, 10, 20, 100 times? 500 times before it finally sunk in, the 501st time, and then we finally applied it to our lives, right? Isn't that like how life usually goes sometimes? So it's just one more time that we tell ourselves that, we make ourselves aware of that, and, you know, you sharing your experiences with the rest of the listeners out there too. So when it comes to your nutrition, is there anything in particular that's a challenge for you or you have a question about, just giving a little bit more clarity?
Yeah, one of the things, I guess, not necessarily specific to this next 5 weeks that I'm going to go through, but my lifting split has me such that I'm basically lifting a day, cardio a day, lifting a day, cardio a day, roughly.
Right.
Do you modify substantially what you eat, what you consume, on a lifting day versus a cardio day? I mean,
right. Now, that's an excellent question. If you notice, and whether I'm on the internet, it's on this talk radio show, have you ever noticed I don't just give short, sweet, absolute answers? Have you noticed that?
You are the thinking man's lifter, that's for sure.
Well, you know, here's the reason why, and that's a good question, Kevin. I'm going to digress a little bit. The reason why I just don't give absolutes, because it's not that simple. I mean, if I wanted to be a salesman and just sell my agenda, I would just give you an absolute, yes, do this, no, don't do that. He's wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This is the way to do it. Okay? Obviously, there are a lot of people out there getting a lot of great results using certain methods. There's a lot of gurus out there. There's a lot of training experts. And they have a track record of success, and the people who they coach and mentor have a track record of success. Now, at the same time, those same gurus, those same training methods have a failure ratio too. So sometimes it's not necessarily a training strategy. Heck, you were inactive for 10 years. So if you were to do anything in the gym, routine A, routine B, routine C, eating program one, eating program number two, or eating program number three, or any combination of those six factors, something is better than nothing, right? So if I said, hey, well, I've done eating program two and training program A, and look at those great results that I had, you will get results. The question is, what are the best results? And then even ask the question, what's best, okay? What I consider the best is what's going to give you your goals in the shortest period of time and the most effective and the most efficient manner, meaning that what if I can get great results not with some crazy diet with 18 different sources of protein throughout the day, okay? Or what if I can get great results not training in the gym for 3 hours straight 7 days a week? What if I can do that in 1 hour or less a day 5 days a week? Well, that would be best, wouldn't it, if you can do it in 1 hour instead of 3 hours, okay? Wouldn't it be better if I could get great results and maybe eat very in a structured manner for 5 days and then for 2 days on the weekends eat whatever I want, or, you know, moderately eat whatever I want for 2 days? What's the best is what's the most efficient, most effective, and it's done in the shortest period of time. So, look, for me to say don't do this, well, there's other factors. It's not just training. It's just not cardiovascular training. It's not just nutrition. It's how those all three work together. So just say you're deficient in one area or you don't have the best strategy there. It can be made up for by being super efficient, hyper efficient in other areas. That's why I don't just slam somebody's training strategy, somebody's method. I may not think that's the most effective manner. I can see, though, how it will work, especially when it's compensated for with maybe more effective mental strategies, nutrition strategies. Okay, so let's get back to your question about do I modify my eating. First of all, let's just talk about the basics of nutrition. The smaller, more frequent meals throughout the day. Doing that, whether that's 5 meals a day, 6 meals a day, you know, it's really not what you do on a training day, and it's really not what you do on a non-training day, because it's what you do over a week, 3 months, 6 months, where you are right here, right now, Kevin, after 9 months. It wasn't that one day that made or broke you, but that one day was very important. It's what you do over the course of time. So if you were to eat exactly the same way in great structured eating habits, whether it's a training day or a non-training day, and you did that for 9 days straight, you're going to look amazing. All right. The more consistent you are, the better strategy you implement. Those type of details become less important in the bigger picture. And that isn't that how life works too, Kevin? The more bases you cover, the more areas of your life that you have under control, it takes the pressure of one area to be hyper-efficient or super efficient in that other area. So, I say that because most people who come to me, they don't even have the structured eating of the smaller, more frequent meals down, okay? Now, when you want to take it to the next level, and to the next level, and to the next level higher than that, well, then things like, again, after all of those things are taken care of, there's such a thing called a hierarchy of what you value when it comes to your training, okay? So, and this is something that you talked about, Kevin, someone who puts a lot of emphasis in their training and no emphasis on their eating, and they wonder why they don't have the physique that they really want. Well, their values aren't aligned properly, okay? So when I say, you know, advanced different eating strategies or training strategies, you need to make sure you have the bases covered, you're consistent with those, and then you build upon those. So after you built upon those different strategies, you know, you got those down, then you can build upon more. So when it comes to your eating, there's a nutrient timing. Your training should be supported by excellent eating habits and a three-hour window afterwards, so right before and right after. That's how you, and the majority of your calories should be bracketed or centered around a three-hour window before and after your workout. Again, that's really advanced. If I were to take a poll of the people who I help throughout the world, I wouldn't, one out of 100 guys I would be talking to about that. That information is available at the AST Sports Science website, www.ast-ss.com. Look for nutrient timing, and that'll talk about the specifics of eating around your workout. I make sure that I support my training, weight training days with that nutrition timing. In general, however, my eating patterns are consistent, whether it's a training day or a not training day. If you want to call in, I have some phone lines open. That call went for a little while longer. Kevin brought up some awesome, awesome points, so I wanted to make sure that everybody benefited from that. So call in. We have some phone lines open. The number is 347-326-9145. 347-326-9145. Call me up. I'm going to get you on the line right away. So, Kevin, any other questions about nutrition?
No, not particularly. I had actually read there's a book called Nutrient Timing by John.
Okay.
Hyde, and that's I had come across that as a result of an article, and it talked about bracketing. Didn't use those words, but I've since been out to the AST site. So part of what I'm doing with my downtime here in the next few weeks is reading through the 12-week Max OT course to kind of ingest that and digest it and consider how I might want to modify my training come, you know, mid-June when I can get back to it.
Right, and there's a couple things. So everyone knows, Kevin is talking about max OT training, maximum overload training, and that's heavy, intense, getting the most bang for your buck in an hour or less in the gym, a training program developed by AST Sports Science. And you can check that out at www.ast-ss.com. Sign up to get in a special section of the website, and it explains what Kevin's talking about, this 12-week program. That's what he's determined to do during his downtime over the next 5 weeks, is to become a student of that. One thing I would caution you, though, Kevin, is that, you know what, Paul D'Elia of AST Sports Time has used his years of experience to build that program. He's implemented it's been a big part of my success in training for over 18 years. National champion IFBB pro Jeff Willett is a big proponent and student, too. We've worked out all the kinks. Don't try to theorize how you think it should work or not work, okay? Don't look at it and go without any source of reference and say, well, let me how can I adapt that to my own style, okay? Because I would suggest that you just take the leap of faith. Just follow it to the T. Just give yourself 3 months with it, all right? And you're going to be really happy with the results. Don't modify the program because you have no source of reference to modify it. Just take the leap of faith. Those 3 months will come and go. And I assure you, you'll get all the benefits, and you'll have a greater sense of contrast so you can evaluate the program from a more intellectual approach. Okay, so, you know, the thing is, I don't want you to water it down with some theories that may or may not work for you. Do it as it's outlined. Take that leap of faith, and then if you want to modify it after 3 months, which you won't, okay, but that's the best way to get the value of the program. All right, Kevin? Hey, good luck to you. Keep on calling back. Yeah, keep on calling back and keep your motivation high by listening to this bodybuilding and talk radio show over the next 5 weeks. Awesome call. We have a call from the 214 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yes, hello. Yeah. Hello, Skip.
Hello there. Who am I speaking with?
I'm Marielle. Marielle from England.
Oh, where are you from in England?
South of England, near Brighton. Well, I'm actually Italian, but I live in England.
Okay. And what was your name again? Tell me your name one more time.
Oh, it's a little uncommon. Arielle. A-R-I-E-L-E. Arielle.
Okay, all right.
Okay, yeah.
So how can I help you today? Hey, thanks for calling all the way from England.
All right, yeah, welcome. Yeah, just had a question about max OT training. I think I posted a comment. I wasn't sure if you saw it. It's basically the main question I have is, I understand the theory behind max OT is that muscle overload is the key to stimulate strength size and increases in muscle mass or hypertrophy. So what I don't understand is why the 4-6 rep range came up. I mean, if overload is the most important thing and max OT is based on the maximum overload, then why not do just one rep or one partial rep or just one negative rep? Because overload will, of course, be much higher than with 4-6 reps.
Right. That's a great question. You know that if I've been asked a question about the rep range, I would say 1,000 times questioning the rep range, why it's the 4-6 repetition range. I don't know. You're probably one of the first person that said, hey, why can't we do fewer reps? Most people are so uncomfortable only doing 4-6 reps. Okay. So for those people, let me just talk about max OT training. It's about overloading the muscle, creating the demand for growth by lifting the most weight humanly possible, and a way to set that up in your mind, because that's all relative. Obviously, some people can lift more weight than others, all right? So
yeah.
The 4-6 rep range, I mean, it's more of a sprint rather than a middle distance race or a marathon, and I use that example. So if I were to tell you to lift some weight and I want you to do 12 to 15 reps, all right, you would choose, let's say a barbell curl or something. You would say, okay, I need to make 12 to 15 reps, and your mind would pick out a certain amount of weight to make sure you made it to 12 to 15. Well, obviously, if I told you to do 8 to 10 reps, I would think you most of the time, or definitely after a period of time, you would pick a heavier weight if you shot for 8 to 10 than you would 12 to 15. All right, well, you see where I'm going here. When you train with 4-6 reps, it's going to be a shorter set, fewer reps, hopefully more weight, definitely more intensity to create that demand and that overload. Max OT, because of its parameters, it blocking you in to 45 minutes or less weight training, because it blocks you in with 4-6 reps, if you want the results, and most people who train in the gym, they want the results, they are determined, because of the structure of the workout, the mental part is taken care of for you, meaning it blocks you in and creates a sense of deadline in life. It just works that way. If we have deadlines, if we have a shorter period of time to get things done, we'll use all our physical, mental, emotional resources to get it done. That's just how it works. So in the program, it creates that for you. All right. So 4-6 reps, again, using the most weight, creating a sprint, a shorter set, where you're putting more effort in creating that overload. And yes, 4-6 is enough reps to get the job done, all right, especially with that amount of intensity and that amount of weight they're using to overload the muscle. Now, of course, you know, if you're going to use the same weight that you would have used, like for a barbell curl, as the example that I used, if you use the weight that could get you to 12 to 15, that weight, whatever that might be for you, and you only do 4-6 reps, obviously you're defeating the purpose. The reason why we're sandwiching you down to 4-6 reps is so that you use more weight, create more muscle overload. So it's 4-6 reps with a weight that is significantly more than 12 to 15 and even more than 8 to 10. So your question is, well, why not just do a half? Well, I guess it's more a certain amount of weight. One complaint that I get, two things when it comes to max OT training. Number one is the concern about injury, the damage, the possible on the joints, you know, what it does to your body lifting so much weight. That's number one. Number two is, you know, the form that it takes to lift heavier weight, what you would consider sacrificing the form. And when we talk about that, using loose form yet still effectively stimulating the muscle. And if there's a third thing that I'm just thinking of now, it's that the mental strength that it takes to go to that higher amount of weight on that rack, just actually picking it up, knowing that you have to force yourself by going 4-6 reps, okay? Well, you can see how all those factors would be exaggerated greatly if you just did a half a rep. You know what I'm saying? So knowing how the human mind works, knowing how the body works, knowing that for a lot of people that 4-6 reps is an extreme amount that it really takes a leap of faith, as I've helped so many people over the years. They love it when they try it. They love the intensity. They love the feeling of being a warrior, a gladiator in the gym, by challenging themselves mentally and physically that 4 to 6 reps. Once they do it, it's a real challenge sometimes doing it in the first place. To make it even more extreme, working with the masses, I have never, here's my honest answer, I've never tried a half a rep at even more weight to even test that point. So I don't know if that really answers your question. I think that I would have to actually try a half a rep at even more weight, see if I can get that form down, make sure I'm pushing myself with that mental courage to see if I get the same kind of results. And just like I'm asking everyone out there to do, I'd have to try it for 3 months and support that with mental habits, support that with nutritional habits, to see if that works. So it's a little bit of an explanation of how all the rep scheme works, how that all works in your training. And I hope that gives you more clarity without answering your question. Does it?
Yeah, sure. But so would you agree that, I mean, it could possibly be more effective to do maybe just one maximum rep? I mean, provided that you can find the proper mental frame to...
Yes. I mean, I can only speak from a point of reference. But if you've noticed, do I think there are more effective training strategies than others? I certainly do. Do I think that, especially when I've done them all in my 18 years of training, going for the highest level of competition, trying to be the best, if I've tried 10 different strategies and I found one that really, really works the best out of those 10, and I think I pushed myself pretty darn hard, I support it with those eating habits, I'm going to tell you about that 1 out of 10. I was asked a question on a message board, do you think you're biased to your training methods? Well, of course I am. I'm not going to say, hey, well, I used 10 different routines and 1 through 9 weren't very good, but I'm going to recommend those. I'm just going to cut to the chase, use my years of experience, my years in the trenches, and I'm going to tell you about number 10, the best one. Now, I am biased to giving you the best information, and I'm going to do my best to explain that to you. On the other hand, I'm open to when you ask me a question, I don't know. I haven't tried that. I can see where that would work. I would have to actually try it and apply what you said, that eating and training strategy. Now, let me ask you this question, and this is good for all our listeners. Have you tried that particular training approach?
Just one single rep?
Yes, sir.
I've tried similar, probably not for a consistent period of time with all the exercises to monitor it, effectively to see its results. I mean mainly out of concerns for possible injury with the extremely heavy weight.
Right. And if you are concerned mentally, mentally, you'll have a hard time following through. So why are you asking that? Is to get more clarity, or are you really tempted to try that rep scheme and you just want some validation to see if I think that might work for you?
I guess mainly, I actually started listening to your radio show a few weeks ago, and that's when I was introduced to MaxOT and the concept that muscle load
awesome.
Is the key factor in stimulating new increase in strength and size. Probably before that, I thought that maybe higher ranges or other factors were involved in muscle growth, such as possible depth of muscle or of lactic acid and slightly higher reps for the other energetic processes of the muscle cell. And so also believing that maybe a single rep was not the best method from a physiological standpoint, and given that it might have a higher risk of injury, that's why I never tried it. But if I agree with the fact that muscle overload could be the number one most important factor, then I would be willing to try it, I mean, given that it might be the most effective way.
Right. I can tell in your voice and your language patterns and helping out people for a long period of time, you are very determined, you are very focused, you are very enthusiastic about that. I mean, that kind of energy is very infectious, and it's very much appreciated, as you're talking about an area that I'm very passionate about. So that's awesome. One point that I'd caution you about is getting too much information where you're not really doing anything. And that's not just for you. That's for all of our listeners out there, too. When you become very, very passionate, you might take on too much information, and you don't get going, okay? Now, you said that you were introduced to the MaxOT program a couple weeks ago, was it?
Probably about a month, probably.
Okay, a month, and you like, you've tried it, and you're getting, you like how you feel and whatever it's doing for you in that time of the month, or have you committed yourself to it?
Yeah, I mean, I've probably been following it for about 3-4 weeks. I mean, I'm definitely happy with the results so far. Yes.
This is what I suggest. You're in this for the long haul, aren't you? You're gonna be calling the show up 5 years from now. You're gonna still be heavily into working out, looking good, feeling great. Am I right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And even if you weren't quite sure, it's good to say yes, I am. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: is 5 years from now, you know, your little 3-week experience or 3-month experiment, it's just a little blip in time. It's just a drop of water in the ocean of time. All right. What I would say, it was just a month ago that you were doing the higher reps. Now you're introduced to the Max OT training program. Why don't we give ourselves 3 months with that program, following it to a T, seeing everything about it. See, after 3 months, you'll be able to call into this show and conduct your own radio show and give a subjective opinion. You would have the actual concrete point of reference that this is why I feel what happens with your body when I do the 8 to 10 reps or whatever, and this is what I feel with Max OT because I dedicated myself to that for a certain period of time, and I dedicated that for a certain period of time. And then if you want to progress to even fewer reps, that's okay because at least you've dedicated yourself to one and then the other, and now you come out with more empowered and more intelligent decision-making capabilities, all right? A lot of times people will shift back and forth through one to the other. Maybe they're not doing it as thoroughly as they should, and they really kind of get compromised results from everything they do, and they really don't have a point of reference. It's really just a bunch of, theories, okay? So instead of taking that jump to wondering right now, I'm going to ask you to block your mind off. Maybe one rep at more weight may work. It may not work. My mind's open to it, okay? I don't necessarily deal in absolutes, especially when I haven't tried that type of training method. What I'm going to ask you to do, though, is don't even think about that for the next 3 months. Do we have a guarantee there?
Yeah.
Okay, so after 3 months of dedicating yourself to this program, getting all its value, all the perspective, then go ahead and try that, and then give me a call back and tell me how that works for you, but only after you've given the Max OT program your full focus, attention, effort, without your mind wandering if I can even take this to more of an extreme. All right, does that sound like a good mental plan?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, trying one training method, transition from the higher reps to the short.
All right, hey, you called all the way from England, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold, and if I have time to, if you have any more questions in the last 15 minutes here, I'll try to get back to you, okay? So hold on.
All right, okay, thank you.
Okay, we have another caller. I'm not sure exactly where this is coming from. Caller, are you there?
Yes, it's a caller here calling from Australia. How are you doing?
Oh, awesome. Came up as anonymous on my phone call. So you're calling from which part of Australia?
Adelaide, South Australia, down in the south.
Awesome.
It's Ben.
And who am I speaking with?
This is Ben Lewis from Adelaide.
All right, Ben.
Hey, Skip. How are you doing?
I am awesome. Thank you.
Great to hear.
So, Ben, how can I help you today?
Okay. Well, just a few brief questions. Just in regards to weight training and in the gym, when I'm actually squatting, generally I use the Smith machine. When I'm reaching that point of failure, I don't have a training partner. So, generally, I would just lock that weight up so it doesn't, fall on the ground or fall on myself. Between the 4 to 6 rep range, that point of failure, just locking it up. Generally, I could do it without the Smith machine, but I don't have, I don't know where to put the weight. No one to spot me there. So just had a question regarding that.
Okay, so the question is, you want to get the most out of your training efforts. You like the Max OT overload training. It's challenging. It's mentally challenging. It's physically challenging with the amount of weight. Without a training partner, your concern is about safety. How you can use this Max OT, how you can do it in a way that you can overload the muscle yet still remain safe without a training partner. And the method that you have chosen is a Smith machine, right? Now, do you have a rack that you can put bars in, a squat rack that, you know, not the Smith machine, a regular squat rack that you can put the safety bars underneath?
Squat
or are
rack.
You just free squatting, you just kind of take it off the rack and then you're all out there all by yourself?
Yeah, to be honest, there is actually a safety rack. There is a rack with a safety rack that I could probably utilize. That would probably be the best way to go about that.
You know, that's a good idea to utilize that. Let me tell you something, Ben. That I'm laughing because for years and years and years and years, I never used those bars. They were just wherever they were, as long as they didn't get in the way of the depth of my squat. I never used those. I had a training partner though. During all my time, I don't remember too many times squatting without a training partner. But it was kind of like 12 years later. I said, hey. You know what? I was really challenging myself, and I thought, well, that's what they have these here for. So, and it turned out to be a great mental strategy, just to have that rack there. I've never had it fall on me, and it makes me think that if I've never had the weight collapse on me, it's making me think that maybe I haven't pushed myself enough. I don't know. I think that legs are one of those body parts that, well, let me speak from my experience. That it's always safety first. I don't mind failing on a dumbbell curl. What's the worst that can happen to me? But it's that fear of the squat falling on you. Having that rack there, you might even, you know what, you want to really do a little mental exercise is, you know, put just have the bar and put the racks at the appropriate level so they don't ruin the depth, but they're high enough to kind of catch you if you were to fail on the weight, and just practice failing and seeing how you would let your body, how you would let the rack catch it, and how you would kind of ease your body from underneath it. Does that make sense? It's like a test run, like a fire drill or something like that, right? See how those racks will save you. Just so in the back of your mind, you'll mentally let you know that you are safe, right?
Absolutely.
And just setting them there, it does make a mental difference, and it. Come on, Ben, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that a lot of times we can get those 5 more pounds or 10 more pounds, especially on something like a squat. And it's just how safe we feel, how secure we feel. Training partner is great. Those racks can help when you don't have a training partner. I would suggest that you get away from the rack, the Smith machine rack. Can it stimulate muscle? Sure, it can. It's just that, you know, it keeps you in a certain locked-in groove. You're using less of the core because you're locked in.
Right.
Takes a lot more skill to use squats, but heck, if you're squatting anyway, get the most out of them. I'm in the same situation as you right now. As business and my schedule becomes a lot more hectic and I do not have a show coming up in a certain period of time, I don't have a training partner a lot of times. And what I found, okay, is that I am gradually getting up there with the squats without a training partner, not as much, but I'm surprised how I've been able to get some great deep squats, you know, using those racks, like you said, like I suggested to you. And the stimulation is awesome. It's awesome, you know, when you learn how to squat, you feel safe and you're doing it by yourself in that squat rack. So, that's what I would suggest to you, and that's a way, and that's for anybody. I had that same question on one of the message boards, the bodybuilding.com message board, and he said, well, what if I don't have a training partner? Can I still use 4 to 6 reps? Well, of course you can, because whether you have a training partner or not, it's using the most weight possible to stimulate the muscle as much as possible. So whether you have a training partner or not, it's the most weight you possibly can, all right? Any other questions, Ben?
Absolutely, yeah. That was really clarified that in a big way, so thank you, and this is wonderful. Another thing I just want to mention is one thing that really fascinates me that I've learned so much from your writings, it's just a great technique, and that's utilizing the brain, training the brain for the peak performance, and just hitting the pectoral, and usually 2 hits on the left pectoral, and just utilizing that strategy. I'll redefine the meaning of positive failure, just speaking those things to myself and utilizing the subconscious in that way, I find is just a great thing. And reading the training goals before training. Yeah, I just found that so helpful, and really just fascinates me, all those different topics. So,
right. Well, I'm glad. I think that that's been my passion, 25 years in the personal development area. You know, as you may or you may not know, is I didn't start lifting weights on a serious basis until I was 27 years old. And it was really out of my experience in the personal development area, how to use my mind to enhance all areas of my life. And so when I ran into bodybuilding, it was the perfect time in my life, using all of my given genetics and determination and my enthusiasm and passion. I got to use my brain, and it's been because I was conditioned on how I was conditioned for success before I even lifted a weight. So when I started lifting weights, and everything just came together perfectly. And that's an advantage sometimes over an 18-year-old. And if you're 18 years old, this is no slam on you. It's just that the mental habits that it takes to be successful at anything, you're still forming that. So that's when, you know, training and bodybuilding can become so complex, and you're listening to other 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds on the message boards. You're looking at all these supplement ads, and you're thinking all these crazy things that you don't know that they're crazy yet. That information overload, it's realizing that how you apply a certain strategy, how consistent you are, that's better than any strategy itself, or it's any definitely than any nutritional supplement, yet you may be distracted by your other 17-year-old friends. So what Ben is saying is that when he starts using his mind, that it's really you're fascinated, you see you keep on pushing yourself to a higher and a higher level. One thing about that too, Ben, is you realize you are never there, quote-unquote there, that level of mental mastery, and as it applies to your bodybuilding and training, there is always that higher level. You are never,
yeah.
You know, although you may be a lot better than where you were a year ago or 2 years ago, there's always a higher level. And that's the most fascinating thing about this journey of life, and definitely the journey of your bodybuilding and training. And if you don't handle that angst that I talked about at the top of this show, if you don't handle it, it could be the most frustrating part of this whole process too. The way you use your mind will make you or break you. How you manage your life, how you prioritize the working out and eating with your life, how you come back from setbacks, not only in the gym, like Kevin talked about an injury, how he's going to mentally handle that. How about when things don't go right in your personal life? Maybe you broke up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever. That should have nothing to do with you coming into the gym and training, right? You have all the rest of the day to, you know, cry about some old past girlfriend or something like that, right? So how are you going to do that? How are you going to line up all these resources to get the most out of life, to withstand the ups and downs, so you're doing this 5 years from now? And as Ben's talked about, it's the way that you use your mind. He talked about being clear on his training goals, just reminding himself why he's in the gym, to just get that little bit of focus. And again, just reading your training goals for 3 minutes before your workout, it just plants it in the back of the seed. And it's almost like you'll be so more effective and so much more efficient in an intangible way, meaning you're not going to be able to measure it. It's working, though. Do it as a discipline. Read your training goals. Just invest that 3 minutes before you work out, and you'll see those tremendous benefits. And it may not be obvious, but trust me on this one. Trust me on this one. It's working. Your mind is working for you, not against you. You're just going to have to trust me on that. All right. Hold on the line, Ben, just in case we have some time before
Absolutely.
The show is over. All right.
Thanks.
We have a caller from the 807 area code. Caller, are you there?
Hey, Skip.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Who am I speaking with?
It's Brock Medill. I actually met you way back at the Musclemania in California. I was competing there. So it's been
awesome.
Quite a while.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
How can I help you today, Brock?
Well, I was just listening at the beginning of the program, and I heard a guy call in about a hernia. And I was kind of in the mindset this summer to get back into competition, and just recently I've developed a pain down in the groin area. And I went into the doctor. He was sure right away, yeah, it's a hernia starting. So I went in for an ultrasound this week, and coughing and everything. And the girl couldn't find anything that was doing the ultrasound. She said, I don't see a hernia. So now the problem is it just keeps flaring up every time I do any lifting where you're holding your breath, and every night it's swollen down that area. So I kind of lost what to do. You know, should I be training hard still? Should I go for another
thing? Well, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I would say, boy, you need to do whatever it takes to find out what's going on. And just trying one time, if I were to say, Brock, you know, you've been in this muscle building game for a long time. If I gave you one opinion about something and it wasn't resolved, would you just stop at that, my one opinion, or would you look to another guru to find out what's going on, what's best for you?
Yeah.
I would say before you worry about, you know, silly things like, you know, hey, we're all here to build muscle. In the big picture of life, our health is most important, right? Well, I don't want to pass my values on anyone else. Is that, yeah, did I try to be the best bodybuilder humanly possible? I sure did. Did I remain healthy? Did I look at the big picture in a mature way along the way? Yes, I did. Okay. Your health is way more important than how many muscles you pack on. Certainly, Brock, I'm going to say this, certainly more than some silly bodybuilding contest, right?
Right.
You need to go to 2, 3, 4 doctors, whatever it takes to find out what's wrong with you, all right? Even just for the emotional relief instead of worrying about it, because every single day you're training, you're going to be wondering, what the heck's wrong with me?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you. Hell, I get a little tingle in the back of my ear. That doesn't seem normal, and I'm in the back of my mind, I'm concerned if this is the beginning of some long-term illness. I don't know, right?
So sounds good to me.
Forget about a silly bodybuilding contest. Forget about how much muscle you have. Go get that taken care of. Get that peace of mind. I'm sure everything is going to be great, you know, and then go on to worry about building muscle after you get that taken care of, right? Does that sound
right?
Something you probably already know. Just need to get some friend, some big brother, some peer or something to tell you something you already know, right?
Yeah, that's actually just what I needed to hear, I think. So.
Yeah, so take care of that, and, hey, give us a call back. Let us all know how well you're doing after you get that all cleared up, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks
all
a lot.
Right.
Yep. Talk to you again.
All right. Take
Bye.
Care. You know, we talk a lot of things about, you know, life. You notice how we were talking about bodybuilding and went over to life. We were talking about Ben, and we were talking about squats, and we went on to the mental aspects and how he talked about that had infiltrated into a lot of areas of his life. One thing that I am most passionate about, I'm most proud of as I go through this leadership role in bodybuilding training, is to use my 25 years in personal development to help you get more out of life, than just big muscles. Because what's important to remember is that what our biggest goal in life is just to be happy. It's to have that set of emotions that make us feel good about ourselves. And whether that's achievement of what you do in the gym, a certain amount of weight you lift, to be a certain level of consistency in the gym, how much muscle you have, how lean you are, and take it out of the gym and, you know, how much money you have or what kind of relationships you have. Our goal in life is to be happy. It's a set of emotions. And just remember that you building your muscle, that's just one avenue that you've chosen. That's most important to you right now on how to become happy and fulfilled. And I'm going to do everything I can on this radio show over the coming weeks to help you get there. But just remember, it's just one piece of the whole puzzle. I have this Manformation show. It's Manformation. You can go to my website at www.manformation.com, M-A-N. Formation, manformation.com. And it's strategies to help you become the man that you really want to be. I attribute a lot of my success in bodybuilding not only because of training and eating strategies, it's the way how I manage it into my entire life. And those are the strategies that I want to share with you, as well as these training nutrition strategies. Bodybuilding success in the gym, that can be easily parlayed into success into all areas of your life. Being your friend, your big brother, if you're 15 years old, your father figure or whatever it is, I wouldn't be doing my service to you and my sincere desire to help you the way that I want to help you if I didn't pass along all these life strategies that I've had the privilege of traveling all around the world helping other people and being in environments with some of the best life coaches, motivational speakers, and counselors from around the world to help you implement that into your life. So go to manformation.com. I have a radio talk show that deals with that. I also have a seminar coming up. Anyway, so check that out. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll listen again on the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Skip LaCour. Thank you for joining me on this archived or podcasted show. I want to invite you to join me live during the show every Sunday and let me help you solve your bodybuilding and training problems personally. Visit my website at www.skiplacour.com for more information on training, nutrition, supplementation, and motivation. And take the time to sign up on my list for free weekly tips, messages, and website updates that will be sent to you by email. If you have any questions about anything I've discussed during the show, or any other questions for that matter, email them to me at skip@skiplacour.com. I'd also like to take this time to invite you to listen to The Manformation Show. It's a weekly talk show where I discuss strategies that help transform you into the man you really want to be. You can go to www.manformation.com to get more information about this concept that will help you take your life to the next level. Bookmark your web browser now to www.manformationradio.com and join the live show every Saturday morning.
Make plans now to attend Skip LaCour's Manformation 2-Day Seminar, July 26th and 27th in San Francisco, California, and transform yourself into the man you really want to be. Join Skip LaCour and other men just like you who are determined to get the most out of their lives for 2 intense days of empowering information and life-changing action strategies. Learn how to be the man in any social situation. Discover how to attract more money, power, sex, and any of the other options in life you really want. Study hundreds of the qualities and characteristics of the most powerful and charismatic alpha males and immediately implement them into your everyday life. Adopt the mindset, body movements, and social interaction strategies that will catapult your life to the next level. Learn the steps needed to create your dream life and burn it into your subconscious mind. Get a better understanding of your own rules, beliefs, values, and standards. Learn how to finally start making them work for you instead of against you. Discover the most effective, efficient, and time-saving exercise and eating strategies for an amazing body while living a balanced, productive life. All of this powerful, life-transforming information and much more will be revealed in this 2-day boot camp. Take action. Make the investment in yourself and transform yourself into the man you really want to be. Make the commitment to change your life today.
Hi, this is Skip LaCour. Join me in San Francisco, California, July 26th and 27th. Gentlemen, we are going to have an amazing 2 days together and learn a lot about ourselves at the same time. Kick your manformation into overdrive and change your life forever. The seating will be extremely limited, so reserve your spot today at www.manformation.com.